The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to put those all-important waiver claims in? Not smart. Going with a running back on a team with a bad offensive line? Also not smart. But using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome to Championship Tuesday. That's right, Championship Week is upon us here on ESPN Fantasy. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and Mike Clay. Week 16. Where did the season go?
Down the toilet. I mean, if you had like Drew Brees on your team.
Or Alvin Kamara. Oh, that's not him.
No.
But Saquon Barkley.
But no.
Keenan Allen.
There's a special level of fantasy hell for Drew Brees. Let's be honest.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Dude, over the last 3 weeks, do you know what he scores on a points per game basis?
Tell me more. I don't know.
Nine. He's averaging 9 fantasy points on a point per game basis over the last 3 weeks. Weeks 13, 14, and 15. So the week you needed to get into the playoffs, the first round of the playoffs, the semifinals, weeks 13, 14, and 15. Drew Brees is the 31st ranked quarterback in fantasy. There is only one quarterback in fantasy worse than Drew Brees when you need him the most. He's just flat out here killing your fantasy hopes and dreams. You think you got Drew Brees. You think you got one of the greatest of all time. You think you got a Hall of Famer. Oh, no. You know what you got? You got an L. That's what you got. You got an L. That's what you got. Who dat? I'll tell you who dat. A loser. That's who dat. That's because he's out here murdering fantasy teams. Just straight out killing you. Do you know this three-game stretch of Drew Brees, week 13 through 15, this three-game stretch is the longest stretch with just one or fewer touchdown pass since 2007. Since 2007. It's 2018, Field Yates.
I'm aware of that part.
I'm just saying.
Sounds like somebody started Drew Brees over the past 3 weeks.
The answer.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost my undefeated team. Thank you, Drew Brees. Yeah, I had an undefeated team. I had a playoffs. All I needed was Drew Brees to do something. Something.
Finally.
Anything.
Finally, you and Tom Brady have something in common.
Ooh.
Which is what?
We both had undefeated teams that then lost. Yeah, yes.
I thought you meant we both are over 40 with super hot wives.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
You're right.
Also factually correct.
Tell me what I said wrong.
You were very quiet. You were very subdued during our pre-show production meeting.
Sure.
You walked in here kind of just
save it for the air.
We were having some good Seahawks conversation, nuanced talk, and next thing you know, Matthew goes off on Drew Brees, which leads us perfectly into our Monday Night Football.
To be clear,
recap.
I have no issue with Drew Brees the person.
No, I know. Trust me,
and I want to be
you
very
are
clear
speaking
about that.
For the masses, Matthew. Yeah, we know that
There are many people out there that are not lucky enough the way I am to have a platform. I have a platform where I can reach fantasy players, where I can speak to them directly, whether it's on the Twitter or here on the 06010 or on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. And so I feel like I need to speak for the masses.
Yeah,
I'm a man of the people because there are a lot of people that are waking up today and not listening to this podcast because there's no reason to at all because Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints flat out murdered their teams.
There are a lot of people that have like texted me this morning, hey, I don't need any more lineup advice because my team is done. I'm toast.
Yeah.
I'm finito.
Of course.
No mas.
Oh,
no championship glory for them.
In the great Christmas movie Die Hard.
Die Hard, yeah.
As Theo says, the quarterback is toast. He might have been referring to Drew Brees in 2018.
All right, let's get into the game last night. The Saints actually win this game 12-9. Their defense is red hot, but that's the problem. The defense is awesome. The offense, not so awesome right now, other than Alvin Kamara, who finished with 23.3 points. And Mike Thomas was fine.
I needed 25 to, I'm in those two vampire leagues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I won one vampire league easily. I'm in the finals of that. I needed 25 points to advance to the finals in the other vampire league. 1.5 point shorts. And the other thing here, just about Alvin Kamara, as long as I'm making this all about me, but that's what the show is. you and I competing for the red zone on fantasy football now.
And Stephon, yeah, the same record, as well. Same pick. Yep.
But again, all about me, you know, egocentric. Yeah, whole thing. And so, going into, you had a sizable lead going into Sunday morning. So
I basically. 4-game lead going into Sunday morning.
I thought you had a 5-game lead on me.
Okay. A 4-game lead on the field.
Right. Yeah. And 5 games on me. And so I basically took a strategy of taking everything opposite of you as sort of a Hail Mary. And going into Monday night, I had an 8-1 record. It actually worked out well for me, but you had more total yards.
McCaffrey
or Alvin Kamara. I took Alvin Kamara merely because you took Christian McCaffrey.
Lead into week 16, which because of the fact that we don't have week 17 red zone because you can't tally them and we don't have a week 18 show.
Right.
So week 16 is the final week. I have a three game lead over the field. So you have to do some serious zigging again this week.
And you know what? Kamara would have won, I believe, if not for the 18-yard run called back by Taysom Hill and his holding call. Thank you, Taysom Hill. Why is Taysom Hill even out there trying to block on a sweep around? What are you doing, Sean Payton?
No.
Hey, why don't you give Tommy Lee Lewis a sweep at the goal line? That was a smart move.
Actually, the answer is no. I'm not going to let you have that one because
he got a 16-yard run.
It was so he actually only lost 10 yards on that play. And Christian McCaffrey ended up having like 20-plus yards more than Alvin Kamara. The point was this.
Let me have that.
Okay. Sure.
I want to have all my complaints today.
Okay, have
I'm
all
fired
your complaints.
Up.
Alvin Kamara, 23.3 fantasy points.
Alvin Kamara's a stud. No issues with Alvin Kamara.
But here's the thing, though.
Overcame poor coaching and a poor offense.
So the question is this. So it's been bad over the past few weeks. Yeah, poor coaching and bad.
I would kill to have poor coaching and a poor offense if it was the New Orleans Saints as a Lions
Sean
fan.
Sean Payton is an unbelievable NFL coach. Make no mistake about it. Last night, he did not have a good game. I'm sorry. Like to put only 12 points up against that defense, like,
I would murder somebody for my offense to have a poor game and still come out with a W.
No,
I mean, I would literally murder.
It's entirely that win
Keith,
for the Saints
specifically.
is entirely because the Saints defense showed up, which isn't Sean Payton, and because Cam is even worse than Drew Brees.
Ugh.
And by the way, and Cam is like playing out there on half a ligament. It's only the ineptitude of the Carolina Panthers that allowed the Saints to win that game last night.
Okay, well, that's
fair.
Sure,
feel free
absolutely.
To argue with me. Is anyone on Twitter agreeing with me, or are they disagreeing with me, Keith? You're monitoring the feed here.
Pretty much all I'm getting is, boy, it sure was a good day to start. Good way to start the show. That's pretty much what I'm seeing a lot of.
I can't tell if that's sarcasm.
Hey, I don't know.
I don't know. I think you're putting way too much of this on Sean Payton. The Panthers' defense over the past 3 weeks has been much better than
they've
they
been
were
much better
throughout the past, 14 weeks before that. And the Saints defense
but
is red hot.
If you are, well, right. If, but if you are the number one seed in the NFC, which is what the Saints are,
right,
and what they were going into that game,
I look at
against
it like,
a 6-7 team. I'm sorry, you need to put up more than 12 points.
Okay, well, you could have been the Rams who lost at home as 13.5-point favorites over the Philadelphia Eagles with their backup quarterback.
That was a bad loss.
At this point of the NFL season, it is survive and advance and do what it takes to ensure that you are in a good spot for January. The Saints have a limitation of their offense. They don't have a number two wide receiver that you can consistently count on, but we're off the track of whether there's a good coaching job, bad coaching job, but more importantly is this. Mark Ingram, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, you continue to start them every single week. Mark Ingram, you're probably still starting because running back is such a wasteland. He's playing a ton in a very good offense.
I think it's cute that he thinks that anyone that has those players is still alive. It's adorable.
I'm sure
don't you
are.
Think? No, I'm sure there are people.
Yeah,
are.
There are plenty.
And I agree with you. They'll go off. They'll go off next week at home against the Steelers. But like we joke for so many years about home Ben versus road Ben. It's home Drew versus road Drew.
That offense. I mean, you look at the Saints. I'm here too, by the way. I've been kind of just chilling out.
Hello, Mike Clay. What's going on?
Just listening in. But anyway, I'll chime in now. I got some stats. Can I drop
the
stats here?
No, I'll take the rest of the show off.
Only give us unmitigated anger, Mike. We don't care anything about your numbers.
Well, no, that's all I got is numbers.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
so, I'm the unmitigated.
Okay.
Anger
all right.
Guy.
There we go.
God bless Mike Clay because you know what he's doing. He's staying in his lane.
I was just going to say that.
It's like, you know what?
He knows his role.
Anger. Irrational, unmitigated anger. That's Barry's field.
I got
stats and rational thought.
I'm saving that for the Kalen Ballage.
Yeah,
stuff.
There you go.
Anyway, let's move forward, Mike.
If you did make it to the championship,
survived. Yeah,
it's
if you're
not
still alive.
That crazy to play Drew Brees in week 16.
Right. Here's the key. Last two games, both at home.
Three straight games on the road. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you said his past two games.
Yeah.
His
the next
last two
three
games coming up.
The next two are at home. Yeah. We got that right. So
next three for sure.
Just think about their, that's true in the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
So let's look at their home point totals this season because they have been outstanding at home. 40, 21, 43, 45, 48, 31. averaging 38 points per game at home this season. That is incredible. 29 points per game on the road this season. They're averaging 4.8 offensive touchdowns per game at home this season as well. They play Pittsburgh and Carolina at home. That's my way of saying, you know, don't panic if you're still alive and you have Breeze or you have Thomas or Kamara or perhaps Ingram, who I still think is a top 20 option. They should be fine. They're probably going to bounce back and score a lot of points over the next 2 weeks, especially after this kind of offensive debacle. I don't think you need to panic by any means.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I think there's got to be confidence in Drew Brees. And it's funny, we were doing our rankings for Tuesday, for today, for week 16, and quarterbacks are difficult to rank this week. A lot of struggling quarterbacks. We'll talk about Cam Newton in a second. Drew Brees, though, still in a good spot. Pittsburgh's defense played much better this past Sunday against Tom Brady, but we don't expect the same level of success next week. Matthew, any disagreement on if you survive Drew Brees? Are you still comfortable starting him this upcoming week?
Yeah, I mean, comfortable is a loaded word, but okay. Are you likely to find a quarterback with a higher ceiling than Drew Brees at home against the Steelers? I don't think so. In terms of fantasy points per game at home this season, Drew Brees, number one in the NFL, 26.6 points, better than Jared Goff now that Jared Goff has completely gone in the tank after last week's game against the Eagles. Drew Brees now number one at home in terms of total fantasy points per game. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's just a very disappointing end of the season or, you know, performance here for, you know, somebody who is like a first ballot Hall of Famer, somebody that has carried your fantasy team all season long, and one bad game happens, right? Whatever, you saw it with Keenan Allen, you know, I mean, there's fluky stuff that happens, right? I mean, cause he left with a hit pointer, but, you know, or there's just, you know, or just somebody with a bad game, you know, a la Adam Thielen. But Drew Brees has been flat out awful for three straight weeks. Not coincidentally, three straight road games. He is home for the next two at the Superdome.
So let's get to the other side of this game, because Cam Newton also, speaking of quarterbacks that are struggling, like Cam's been even more disappointing over the past 2 weeks. And Stefania's not here today. We'll weigh in with her at some point later on this week. Cam Newton, to the eye, looks hurt. He can't make throws down the field. Kyle noted that his longest throw last night was 17 yards down the field. He was consistently dinking and dunking last night. Guys couldn't get open. Cam threw for 131 yards. He was picked off, 16 for 29. He had 5 rushes for 15 yards. And I'm not going to say this is a guarantee, but the Panthers' official website floated the idea of, should the team shut down Cam Newton for the remainder of the season? They have a 1% chance, according to ESPN's FPI projections, to make the playoffs. I'm telling you, even if he does, like, it's tough to watch right now, Mike.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I will say this. We're talking up how good the Saints' defense has been playing, so it was a tough matchup for him. We will say that. The Saints' defense has been much better as of late. They played at Cleveland, at Tampa Bay the previous 2 weeks. Matchups where you can, to some extent, take advantage. I think playing at Cleveland on the road is probably tougher than we give it credit for. But nonetheless, I mean, here's why I have some hope for Cam if he does start this week against the Falcons at home. It's a defense certainly you can exploit. He also handled 18% of their design runs last night, and his design runs have been down a little bit as of late, but he's still getting carries. He's still going to scramble a little bit. You look back at the past 3 weeks, they scored two touchdowns, and one touchdown. Before that, they had five straight with at least three touchdowns, and some of that we think that's around where he got injured. So, you know, his average depth of throw is down by 9%. Thirsty Kyle pulled that before the game. It's not a massive gap by any means, and he's been living on high percentage throws throughout the season, getting the ball to Samuel and DJ Moore, and lately Ian Thomas. So I still think there is hope. He's still adding some value with his legs, even though it's down a little bit. Again, at home against Atlanta, I still think he is a top 10 play at quarterback if he's still in the lineup.
If he still does play, they play Atlanta, as you just mentioned, who they've been better defensively of late, perhaps in part due to the competition they played, right? It helps when you play the Arizona Cardinals, for example. But yeah, Cam really struggled last night. And other than Christian McCaffrey, who was terrific last night, he was the second player in the Super Bowl era, along with O.J. Simpson, to have at least 50 passing yards and 50 rushing yards and 50 receiving yards in a single game. He threw a touchdown last night. He had 8 catches. He had 53 rushing yards. Matthew, I believe one of your bold predictions going into this year was Christian McCaffrey could finish as the number one running back in fantasy football.
That is correct.
It's still possible, and that's probably your best bold call of the year.
That one, plus I also had Patrick Mahomes 50 touchdown passes.
I had him at 52.
So yeah.
I don't like.
I think it was either 50 touchdown passes or Patrick Mahomes is the number one quarterback in fantasy.
Gotcha. Okay, well, whatever.
So both those two paid out, no question. I was all in on Christian McCaffrey. There were a lot of people out there that were questioning,
Is he a first-round pick? Should he go in the first round? People are worried about C.J. Anderson siphoning. People were worried about the touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera. People laughed at me when I said, I feel like they're going to use McCaffrey the way that Norv Turner used LaDainian Tomlinson. So, yes, no question. Me being all in on Christian McCaffrey in the beginning of the year certainly is one of the calls that has paid off in a big way. The only guy in the game that threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean,
it was a bad week for quarterbacks in general. Oh, I saw this nugget, and I really apologize to who it was that first pointed it out on Twitter. But last night was the first time since week 17 of 2010 that no quarterback at all threw for three touchdowns. None. No quarterback all week threw for three touchdown passes.
Wow.
And think about how a month and a half ago we were talking about.
What did you say, Keith?
I was good.
So go ahead, finish your thought. Now I have one more thing.
I was just going to say that a month and a half ago we were talking about defense being dead.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden offenses are broken. It's been a weird finale to the season.
And I was going to ask Tristan about this, Tristan Cockcroft, who does a lot of great historical stuff for this. But I looked at the leaders this morning, and no quarterbacks in the top 10 for the week. That's got to be rare.
Wow.
I mean, just
no
to
quarterback
have one
in the top 10 players.
Well, yeah. Look at Matt Ryan, 231 passing yards, two touchdowns, ran for 18 yards and a touchdown. Not a, you know, okay,
whatever
decent
game.
Week. That's a number one scorer by 3 points, a quarterback this
Unbelievable,
week.
Unbelievable.
Easily
right?
The number one quarterback.
I mean, so, yeah. Just Josh Allen continuing his streak of being the number one quarterback in fantasy last 4 weeks.
Unbelievable.
So you got two AFC East quarterbacks in the top five, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen this
right.
week.
Just two AFC East quarterbacks in the top five of fantasy, and neither of them named Tom Brady.
Correct.
Or Ryan Tannehill. So, I mean, unbelievable. It's amazing. Thirsty Kyle has this stat. For the first time in Cam Newton's career, no touchdowns. Not rushing, not passing. First time in his career, two consecutive games, yeah, with no touchdowns for Cam Newton. They should, not that the Panthers will listen to me, and I understand that's not great for fantasy, especially with a home game against the Falcons up next. They should shut him down. Obvious sort of football he's your franchise guy.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you put him back out there?
Also, I don't know why they wouldn't listen to you knowing that you are dominating in that kindergarten league that you're taking on your daughters in. You know
not
what I
anymore.
Mean?
Not anymore. I just lost. I just lost yesterday. That's the whole point.
Oh my gosh.
I just saw Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. That's the whole point. Thanks for paying attention to the show, Secret Squirrel.
I didn't realize it was that league.
No, I'm kidding. It wasn't that league, but no.
I thought it was the Vampire. It was the Vampire League, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, man.
I was in five playoff games, and I'm advancing to three finals. So those were the two. The two that I lost was my Friends League, in Real Talk, was the Friends League where, you know, McCaffrey just crushed Drew Brees and Michael Thomas combined. And then I needed 25 points from Alvin Kamara, and I got 23.5 or whatever.
By the way, you know how sometimes teams just...
What are you going to do?
You just have throwaway games. You're just like, man, we got blown out. It was a mess. Everybody got hurt. We're not going to look at the tape or throw... That's like this week in fantasy. I almost feel like you don't want to take anything away. It was just a odd week.
Well,
many stars were underwhelming. It's almost like there's not enough to take away. Just scrap it.
If there's one thing to take away, it's that, you know, Josh Johnson is 1-0 as a starter for the Redskins. I mean, the undefeated Josh Johnson, let's take that. I mean,
yeah, what is he in fantasy points the past 2 weeks? Top five? I mean,
he's something like that. Josh Johnson's he probably is a QB1 over the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's a top five guy.
He definitely is. Yeah.
I mean, so, did Josh Johnson make your, free agent fines?
We'll find out later on in the show, Matthew.
I guess we will. That is what's known as a tease.
QB3 and QB11. And that's with a game and a half.
That's right. Jay Gruden finally found the quarterback to run his system. QB4 over those 2 weeks, Thirsty Kyle throws up on the screen. So there you go. Top five quarterback, Josh Johnson. There you go.
At least we got something right.
Yeah. You know what? Better than Drew Brees. You'd have been better off starting Josh Johnson the last 2 weeks than Drew Brees.
Factually true.
Yeah, and better than Mahomes the last 2 weeks.
You know what I say? Result over process.
Absolutely. Right. Result over process. But, you know, we can certainly throw out the rest of the week, like the Eagles beating the Rams. Let's throw that out. Absolutely.
Yeah, I still can't believe that happened. That was about as shocking as them making that run through the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl last year. Just
Mike Clay, who, for those who don't know, is a diehard, born and raised Philadelphia Eagles fan. Like, who do you love more, the Eagles or Mark Martin, 55. That's his racer.
I think the Eagles came first, and they're still around where Mark's retired. So I'll lean toward the Eagles. Yeah. But that's a close one.
Like
that's a tough call.
Who do you love more, the Eagles or your daughters?
my daughters. Come on.
Oh, my.
I can't even
took
joke
a pause. There was
wow.
a pause.
I can't even
that
joke.
Was a long pause.
Pause because I was shocked and appalled by that question.
I will say this, Field Yates. I'm going to turn to you now, Field Yates,
I can't
for
even
this.
Joke
yeah,
about
I'm
that
ready.
One.
Because I will tell you. So I have, you know, Mike and I are friends off air as well. And so I have been to Mike's house. Yeah. I've been to the Clay residence.
Thanks. I haven't been.
So, yeah. Well, there's, you know, take a hint. So anyway, the fact is I've been over to Mike's house and Mike has a basement. Mike has a man cave.
Ooh, nice.
And it's a ridiculous, it's a great man cave.
Okay. Yeah,
but in the man cave, let me tell you, there is, and I'm being conservative here, 50 Mark Martin pieces of memorabilia, jerseys,
you're being
pictures.
Very conservative.
You might have a problem.
Very
no, no, pictures, jerseys, mini cars, you know, all sorts of memorabilia, you know, track passes that he has, yep. Everything like that, pictures of him and Mark. And there's also, like, as you can imagine, a ton of Eagle stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, jerseys, pennants, hats.
So if you had to guess though, like,
so,
by,
and
by
the way,
eye
there
test.
Might, I think there was like one little picture of his daughters, like in the corner. So okay, I'm so just saying, like,
hey,
I'm just saying, like,
again.
If the one room that Mike has control over, just in terms of what does he love more, I'm not saying your daughters aren't on the list.
Actions speak louder than words,
I'm,
Mike.
I'm just saying,
know, like,
listen,
I'm just saying. Did I describe your room accurately?
You did. I'm 33, so Mark and the Eagles have been around that whole time. The girls are just 4-2,
that's
right?
True.
So they just, you know, I
they're grunting up the
not
chart.
Enough of a sample size.
Fair.
They need more of a sample
he's
size.
He's a sample size guy.
I tell you what, I might have to, wow. Like, I hope your wife is not listening to the show right now, because she's going to be stunned.
Yeah, right. Like, she listens to the podcast.
Please.
You think she listens to this?
100%. In fact, I believe the only significant other that listens to this show is Chapin Duke.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I believe that is deal. Right
because
I know
James
listens all the time. Yeah.
My
wife never listens.
Yeah,
my wife. I mean, my wife. I don't even know when does. I mean, she'll call like during it. We got a better chance of her calling in during it.
What
than
are you
we
doing
do.
Right now?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Thirsty Kyle, does your fiance does Mrs. Thirsty?
No dice.
Yeah,
Mrs. Thirsty,
future Mrs. Thirsty, future yeah. Mrs. Thirsty.
Yeah, it works right.
Close
there.
Enough.
Right.
My wife does not listen. She does not care in the slightest.
No, that much we know.
Mrs. Squirrel.
Yeah, she's not interested.
She's done.
Yeah.
She's, yeah.
Also exactly. Doesn't care about the fantasy show. Just doesn't care about football. Just like, let me know when football season is over.
Right, right.
What about Mrs. Not Cool?
No, she's too cool to listen to the show.
Wow, that's accurate.
Amy's yeah. really good
I
at fantasy.
That up
yeah.
That, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I believe. That I believe. You could not be married to Keith and not love sports. I mean, there's just, there's mm-hmm. no way.
That's just true.
And the Browns.
Like, and the Browns. But I'm just like, Keith watches more sports than any person I know on the planet. So
yeah,
I cannot imagine that if you don't like sports, you could be married to Keith happily.
We've talked about this because late night Mandy and I will watch TV shows, right? Like popular TV shows
sure,
get
sure,
caught
of
up. And Keith is like, I'm watching a Division V basketball game like that night. Like, what is that? Who's
it is? I have to tell you, we're off the rails, but whatever. It's week 16. I cannot tell you how hilarious it is. Like, anytime you have a, like, you could just talk to Keith and you'd be like, whoa. I can't believe Lehigh beat Indiana on the road. That's unbelievable. And it'd be like, well, here's the thing. Lehigh's got this 2-3 zone, you know, and they've got this swing guard that's on, like, he'll know. And you're like, who's watching Lehigh basketball? Whatever. Keith has. Keith's watched 7 games or something like that. Like, it doesn't matter how obscure the game or the sport.
Impressive.
Keith
impressive.
Has an opinion and has an informed opinion about that team and those players. It's unbelievable.
He has got a fountain of knowledge that far exceeds that of most people. He goes to a regional basketball game. Like, the NCAA has this tournament and they go to, you know, regions all over the country each year. He makes a trip every year, if I'm not mistaken, Keith, to like pick the region. So like, hey, we're going to Dayton this year. What are you doing going to Dayton for? March. You know, basketball games.
Yeah, I forget where we were.
We're on vacation this year. Dayton.
The Fantasy Sports Trade Association had one of its annual conferences in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah. Right, and you think about Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, like, unbelievable barbecue, Grand Ole Opry,
time,
like all these amazing
Predators
places.
Game was awesome.
Predator, you and I and a bunch of others went to the Preds on one of the nights, and so you think there's so much to do in Nashville, Tennessee. Like, and by the way, you're there at the conference, and a lot of people that work in the industry, and so it's a good time for kind of networking, socializing, mm-hmm. everything like that. And there's obviously terrific panels and award ceremonies and blah blah blah, all the stuff. Conference. Keith disappeared for a day and we're like, well, where are you going? And he's just like, well, I'm going to Lipscomb University is there. So he went to go watch a practice at Lipscomb University. Right? Is that correct? That was what you did on your trip to Nashville?
I was just there for 2 hours, not for the entire day.
Whatever! Like, but you had to drive there. I mean,
it was an all-day practice, 8-hour practice.
Yeah, they had a game the next day too.
Where was Lipscomb University in relation to Nashville?
Oh, it is in Nashville.
It is in Nashville.
Did they give you a whistle? Did they let you whistle during the practice?
No, but they were nice enough to let me come watch. I was happy about that.
The namesake. You got to go to your namesake.
Yeah, 100%. I called them when I was in high school to see if they would let me in there just by having the same last name, give me a scholarship. They said no.
They said no.
But I did call.
Fair enough. Thirsty Kyle throws up. Barry College is in, where is Barry College?
It's in Georgia. So during the Super Bowl.
Rome, Georgia.
Hey, you go to the ESPN party this Friday night? Yeah. No, to be too busy checking out the pickup ice hockey game, Barry College.
This is actually isn't that bad. Acceptance or graduation rate is only 62%, so that sort of fits the brand.
Oh, that, you know what I mean? Right, 100%.
Mount Berry. People always ask elementary school.
Here's what it says. What SAT score is required for Berry College? What is Berry College ranking? What movies have been filmed at Berry College? Find out what the answer. Those are the most common questions that come out on Google, Thursday Kyle. What SAT score is required for Berry College? How much does it cost to go to Berry College? I don't care about how much it costs. What is Berry College ranking? What SAT score is required? And,
I don't know what movies were filmed.
And, what movies were filmed there. But anyway, that just to show you how insane Keith Lipscomb is about sports. He went to see a practice at Lipscomb University. Anyway, I have now filibustered long enough that we don't have to talk about Chris Manhertz.
Okay, Ito Smith is going to the injured reserve list for the Atlanta Falcons, which means that...
Oh, hang on for 1 second. We should do actually a small piece of fantasy analysis. Let's assume Cam Newton is shut down.
Yeah.
Any Panther other than Christian McCaffrey you're starting in Week 16, even though it's against Atlanta?
Nope.
Even if Cam Newton isn't shut down, is there any Panther you're starting other than Christian McCaffrey?
Cam Newton.
I think
you're still starting Cam Newton.
Still have a top 10.
I will say this really quick about Curtis Samuel.
Atlanta, I don't know.
Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, before last week's debacle, Samuel had been a top 34 receiver in four straight in five of his past six. DJ Moore, top 36 in four straight. So even though Cam has been hurt for supposedly about a month, they were still getting wide receiver three numbers at worst.
Yeah. I mean, and it is a much more favorable matchup at home against the Falcons.
All right, a couple of things here. Ito Smith has gone to injured reserve. Speaking of the Falcons, board bet update. Tevin Coleman needs 4.4 points for me to win the bet over Matthew. It was a 60-point lead.
I feel like I should win the board bet. The board bet should be over right now, and I should win because...
Or extrapolate it.
Extrapolate.
I mean, still win in that case, right? Because like...
No, he needs 4.4 more. Right, at this point, if you ended the bet right now, I would win the bet.
I think the fair way would be to extrapolate the next 2 weeks, but that would give it to Phoenix.
Right. Yeah. So the fair way to do it would probably be, okay, over the, let's see, in the 14 games they had, or just the two of them and no longer Devontae Freeman, I projected Tevin Coleman to outscore Ito Smith by 60 points.
Right.
You divide 60 by 14 and then you take that difference. And over the last two games, like, hey, if like, you know, whatever 60 reduced down to whatever 12 divided by 14 is, that would be the right answer. So I think I win.
I see what you're saying there. I was told there would be no math.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is this, is rather than having 14 games, we have 12 games. So 12 divided by 14 is 71. So then you multiply 60 by 71%. That gets you to 42. So he would have needed to win by 42 points or more. And I still would have won. I would have crushed you like a grape.
I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the right way to do that.
Yes, it is.
I don't think that's the right way to do that.
Well, the point is, regardless of exactly what the number is, he would win. If it's extrapolated over the next 2 weeks, that edge, that per game edge applied to
that. What I was trying to say was that he needed to have a 4.3 point per game edge per game.
Right.
All right. And he's had way more than a 4.3 point per game edge per game.
So you're taking 60 divided by 14. Whenever we made the bet.
Right.
Yeah, see, I was just thinking that because Ito Smith can no longer compete in the bet, we should just end it right now.
Oh, is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, that's weird. Mean, look, you already got a cheapo game from Tevin Coleman because Ito Smith wasn't there. I mean, the last two games, Ito Smith had actually been overtaking Tevin Coleman.
I mean, the crux of the bet was this. You thought it was going to be a work share, and Tevin Coleman has been completely the dominant running back for the Atlanta Falcons. Boom!
I think the thing is that both have been terrible, actually.
Tevin Coleman last week,
he was good.
He was awesome.
But up until last week, he's been stinky.
Okay. Stinky. Like cheese.
Yes.
It was trending
Ito's way. I will say that. It was leveling out. So you never know what would happen in the last 2 weeks.
It's outrageous.
You are ridiculous.
It was.
Anyways,
the sporting thing to do would just be to take the board.
You
take the bet off the board. That would be the sporting thing to do.
Definitely not. That's certainly not going to happen. Tevin Coleman, who over
last
week,
and we should just give Washington the NFC East title because if all the players were healthy, right? Like they definitely would have won it. That's what you're saying.
I like how you think.
Yeah.
I like how you think. I'm on board with all this.
Yep.
I'm on board with all this.
And Drew Brees is usually good, so you should just win that matchup too. I mean,
you know what? Suddenly people on the show making sense.
You might come back to 5 days a week, Matthew.
You know, I might actually come back to the show more often. It's exciting.
I mean, let's not get crazy.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
This show is going about as well as this week went in fantasy. Yeah.
One more piece of news right here is that Hunter Henry is back at practice.
Tevin Coleman, a top 20 running back the rest of the way. Blah, blah, blah.
Tevin Coleman, top 20, I agree on that. But Hunter Henry is back at practice this week.
That's
Hunter
right.
Hunter Henry for the Los Angeles Chargers. 21 days for the team to decide whether or not they are going to activate him to the 53-man roster. The likelihood is this. It probably won't happen before week 17. So I think it's probably not fantasy relevant in redraft leagues, but for Dynasty, a player to keep in mind, Mike, and maybe go check out to see if he was not available in your keeper league, or if he is available in your keeper league, probably not likely in a Dynasty league, but in a keeper
question.
League.
Yeah, maybe shallower dynasties, sure. I mean, a lot of casual leagues out there, he's probably saw it there on waivers, and he's buried because you don't see him projected for points every week. His ownership's low. Just search the name. Search Henry, see if Hunter Henry pops up. If he's out there, scoop him up. Even if you only keep three or four guys, get him. You might be able to trade him in a package to get a better keeper later in the offseason because the hype will build. I mean, he'll probably be ranked, what, top five, six tight end, I would think, by most next season. The hype will build for Hunter Henry in this high-scoring Chargers offense. So he should be 100% rostered in keeper and dynasty leagues.
Yeah, and I, you know, listen, this doesn't speak well of the league, but I'm in a highly competitive dynasty league, 12-team dynasty league. You can keep 13 players for their career, no penalty. Just keep the whatever 13
Love
you want
leagues.
Every single league, every single year, and you can keep them for their entire career with no penalty. And a 20-man rosters. But you're only allowed 20 moves all season long. Like, you can make them whenever you want, but like, so you have limited waiver moves. So you really have to, you know, sort of think it through. And so Hunter Henry wasn't kept this year because of the injury in the preseason. And then he was just sitting out there in free agency a couple of weeks ago. I just scooped him up, picked him up. So yes, it is worth checking to see if Hunter Henry is still available in your keeper league or dynasty league, because I agree, given the state of the position, I believe Hunter Henry will probably be like a top six-ish guy next year, assuming Rivers is back, which I don't know why he wouldn't be.
We'll take a quick break and be right back and talk about players you can add for right now.
Fantasy, you in the 06010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus.
All right, and now it is time for a quick note from the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
This is Zach Kine, ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week, and Phil Yates has to be my favorite member of the 06010. His first day hosting the podcast was also my first day listening to the 06010. I've been a daily listener ever since. Thanks for all the mediocre fantasy advice.
My guy right there. Good
answer. We got one.
We got one. Good one, Matthew. We got one.
I'm just saying. We lost millions when Nate left, but we got one back. Oh, so yeah. There you go.
Millions, that's right. Yeah. Surviving and thriving. That's us.
Let's
talk waiver
wire.
That's
as much an insult to me as well. I mean, just, you know, that basically no one wanted to stick around if it was just me. All right, Field Yates. Hey, you write the, and do a very good job with it as well. You write the free agent finds column.
Try to get in the little passive aggressive. You do a great job. Anyways, continue.
Listen, better passive aggressive than you who are straight out aggressive. Everyone's been mean to me on the show last couple of days. You can be honest, Secret Scroll. Be honest about that. You can back me up on that.
The problem is we're not being mean. You just set us up in the most brilliant fashions.
Yeah, it is pretty. You make it pretty easy though.
I'm not saying it's a challenge to be mean to me.
Right.
I'm just saying. You know.
Yeah, people have been mean and you've been losing fantasy games.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's power through our waiver wire comps. Daniel wants to open up a new segment to close the show today.
That's right, he does.
All right. You write free agent finds, Field Yates. You do a fine job, I guess. I've never read it. There you go. How's that? Is that better? Not passive aggressive, just straight out aggressive. All right. Give me a quarterback.
Josh Allen, number one fantasy quarterback over the past 4 weeks. He's got at least 18 points over the past 4 weeks. He's got 40 rushing attempts. It is not pretty. He's completed exactly 50% of his passes over the past 4 weeks. But at this point, like, far be it for me to tell you to just continue to ignore it, right? I mean,
right.
In our quarterback ranks this week, I have him at like 12 against New England this week. The matchup is fine. Not a great one, not a bad one, but it doesn't really matter about the match because he's getting all of his value from his legs. Josh Allen continues to find ways to break the pocket, rush for whether it's a touchdown or 50 yards in a game, the dude has been a beast.
So here's my question for you. I don't disagree, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the rushing is absolutely legitimate. Their backfield is certainly super banged up. Given how well the Patriots play at home, you would expect there could be some junk time here for Josh Allen. I'm doing my rankings tonight. I don't do my rankings until Tuesday night, but I know both you and Mike have done yours already. Where does Josh Allen rank for you this week? Because I think at this point, if you're in the finals, if you're in week 16, unless we get news that Cam Newton is getting shut down, unless we get news that Aaron Rodgers is getting shut down, I don't know if, you know, if you guys saw that, but the line moved to favor the Jets, and so there's some speculation that Aaron Rodgers will not play in this game, right, that the Packers may shut him down. So unless it's a scenario like one of those two guys, chances are you're basically benching whoever got you here for Josh Allen. Where do you have him ranked?
Right, again, I have him around number 12
okay.
this week, as I was saying, against the Patriots. So I got to go open it up again to see exactly where I have him.
Mike, where do you have him?
I have him 17. I'm lower. I'm still suspect right. of, you know.
You're a hater. You're a hater.
Apparently. Yes, I'm sticking with it. Again, Field touched on the passing efficiency issues. That's big for me. You just are relying on so much with his legs.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 15 in my quarterback rankings, but that could move up, though. Again, a lot of things could happen. We could see Aaron Rodgers sit. We could see Cam Newton get shut down. There are other players that you could be talked into, at least I could be talked into, to play over Josh Allen, that I could play Josh Allen over for this week.
So before we, and honestly, there's really no tight end. At this point, whoever you're starting at tight end, he's got as good a chance as any to get into the end zone.
I just want to say this. If you, this is just me as a total, just on this side of the glass. Mm-hmm. If I'm rostering Cam Newton, I would so much rather play Josh Allen, who has shown me four straight games of a consistent floor, then seeing what Cam has done over the last three games where he has just been brutal. And I understand that's not what the numbers dictate, and it's still Cam Newton versus Josh Allen, but like, I don't know what else Josh Allen has to do and what Cam Newton would have to do for you guys to make that switch.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument there.
There's some emotional bias there, though. Obviously, there's.
Yes.
Sure. Can you count on the rushing? He's had a rushing touchdown against the Lions as well, so it's all a little bit fluky. Having said that, there's nothing in terms of his play recently that gives you confidence in Cam Newton. It's merely his name and the matchup with the Falcons. That's what you're banking on Sunday, because there's nothing in recent play that suggests that he's even close to 100% healthy or will put up big fantasy numbers. So there you go. Anyway, we don't have a suggestion for you at the tight end position because it's just whatever. It's a wasteland. It's a teenage wasteland. It's a tight end wasteland. I'm sure someone's done that parody song. If they haven't, they should. But in the meantime, while we search the internet for that, Secret Squirrel, why don't you tell us about Subaru?
Yeah, you bet, Matthew. During the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru and its retailers have shown just how far the love can go. Over 100 national parks supported through the National Park Foundation. More than 50,000 animals rescued through the ASPCA. Nearly 2 million meals delivered through Meals on Wheels. More than 1,800 wishes granted through Make-A-Wish. More than 1,170 hometown charities have been supported. That's over 140 million dollars donated charity by Subaru and its retailers over 11 years. And right now, when you get a new Subaru during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru will donate $250 to the charity of your choice. When we share love, we all win. The Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. And exploring the waiver wire is brought to you by the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Matthew Berry, let me ask you this question, which will then be asked to Field Yates, because that's how we do this with the transitive property. Jamal Williams, is he your number one guy on the waiver wire this week, Field?
He is, Dan. He'll be my number one waiver pickup of the week. He had 16 touches last week after Aaron Jones went down with a knee injury. And in talking to Stefania yesterday, it certainly sounded like there's a possibility Aaron Jones will not play in week 16. And heck, if you're the Packers, you might be thinking, why bother playing in week 16 or 17? Jamal Williams struggled at the beginning of the year. He is not the same player that Aaron Jones is. But opportunity is certainly a big part of fantasy football. He showed last year when he had eight straight games with at least 10 rushes that he can do something every once in a while. And from weeks 12 to 14, five touchdowns, over 400 total yards for Jamal Williams in a three-game stretch. I'm in. He's a top 20 play for me.
Yeah, is there a better example of volume as king in fantasy football than Jamal Williams, whose efficiency
exactly
has been atrocious in the NFL so far, especially as a rusher? But you kind of alluded to it, Phil. Last season, at weeks 11 to 17, he played at least 79% of the snaps in all of those games. He was number 8 in fantasy points at running back with 5 touchdowns. Last week, again, against a tough Bears defense, at 97 yards, had 16 touches. Granted, they didn't have another tailback on the roster, but he put together a pretty good fantasy day in a tough matchup. He is really, you know, they claimed Capri Bibbs. So if Jones is out, it would be him and Capri Bibbs. Doesn't have much competition. Should push for 70, 80% of the snaps. You're right. If Jones is out, there's no question he's an RB2.
I think 70-80% of the snaps is being conservative. Like, the Redskins didn't trust Capri Bibbs. Mm-hmm. And he'd been there all season long. I mean, when Chris Thompson was out. I mean, so I think it's going to be, especially if Aaron Rodgers is out there, I think it's going to be all Jamal Williams. Seven different times this year, guys, a running back has rushed 15 or more times against the Jets. In those games, that running back has averaged 17.7 fantasy points. He is somebody that I think should be the number one pickup this week, even if you don't need a running back, because I am totally fine with playing defense. Now, I'm also big on, like, if you're out, like, assuming there's nothing else to play for, like, the only people that should be making waiver claims are the two teams in the finals. Unless you're playing for third place money, unless you're playing to avoid the last place punishment, unless there is something to play for, you can't be making waiver moves. Set a lineup, but you should leave the waivers to players that still have something to play for. But I think he's the number one pickup this week.
By the way, if Deshaun Kizer's in there, if there's anything we know about him from Cleveland last year, he'll wing it around the field too. So he should be able to open up the offense a little bit. He might throw four interceptions, but there should still be some offensive big plays in that game. Williams still a fantasy star.
And it would still go to tremendous volume for Jamal Williams. Sure. You know, they might scale it back, and Kizer, who's a mobile quarterback, would open things up. I agree with you on Jamal Williams. Assuming Jamal Williams gets taken in your league, who's next up, Field?
For me, next up amongst the running backs to add would be Eli McGuire for the New York Jets, because he's been good over the past 2 weeks. He has been good enough over the past 2 weeks is what I would
volume
say.
Back.
Yep. Volume back.
21 touches last week.
21 touches over the last week. He has 35 rushes over the past 2 games, 6 receptions over the past 2 games. He scored in each one of them. It is not always pretty, but if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play for the Packers, all of a sudden this could be like a battle of the ugly on Sunday between the Jets and the Packers, a game in which we expect the Jets to be able to move the ball enough to continue to see fantasy relevance from Eli McGuire.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, look, Here's one positive, right? They play the Packers. We just talked about Jamal Williams facing him. So Packers have allowed 110 running back rushing yards in 6 of their past 9 games. It's not a run defense that particularly scares you. They are 17th against the run over the last 4 weeks. And so, you know, McGuire, who's part of the passing game as well, helps you out no matter what your format.
No doubt about that. Let's get over to the wide receivers here and start with Mike Williams of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, before you move on to the wide receivers very quickly, I think, John Kelly, I think, is just, if you have Todd Gurley, John Kelly is somebody that needs to be rostered.
Right. He's day to day is Todd Gurley with what the Rams are describing as knee inflammation. So John Kelly would be the presumptive next man up. They've got 2 more games. I think week 16 is very much in play for the Rams in terms of the consequences, and probably week 17 as well, because they could, in theory, lose a top 2 seed if they do not win out. So the Rams have a lot to play for, and I think Todd Gurley is going to be out there this Sunday mm-hmm. and next.
Sure,
as well.
But if for people that play in ESPN standard leagues, which are millions of people, where the playoffs go through week 17, and you have Todd Gurley, you never know. Like, knee inflammation is day to day. But if it gets a little bit tweaked on, what are you?
I just don't understand. How is John Kelly rostered in 3% of leagues when Todd Gurley has gotten you to a championship? But here we are in week 16, and Todd Gurley managers do not have a handcuff.
Right.
Totally. So as soon as Malcolm Brown gets hurt, you drop Malcolm Brown, you add John Kelly. Like, it's not rocket science.
I don't think people are paying as much attention to the backup running back in the Rams as they were when Malcolm Brown was actually playing a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, it's Daniel, I'm with you. He should be rostered in way more than 3% of leagues, but it's not entirely surprising. Roster John Kelly if you have Todd Gurley.
Especially when you think about, Daniel, you're talking about the people that listen to this podcast. So you're basically asking a question, which I think answers it for yourself. Why are the people that listen to this podcast not making a smart fantasy move? I mean, they've already shown that.
Yeah, they picked us.
They picked us.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
How bright could they be?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
That's fair.
You know.
Wow, just throw everybody under the bus.
Yeah, that's
how
what
bright
it is.
Are they? Wow, geez.
I really want.
Everyone knows. We're mediocre fantasy advice. It is what it is.
So I really want to have time for the segment that Daniel devised. So I'm going to read through these 3 wide receivers in succession here.
Yeah.
We begin.
Bang them out.
With Mike Williams of Los Angeles Chargers. If Keenan Allen sits, we believe that Mike Williams is the number one target in the Los Angeles Chargers passing game. That being said, Tyra Williams also a viable ad after 12 targets last week, but Williams, 7th overall pick last year for a reason. We saw the remarkable ability he has in the red zone. That showed up in a major way in week 15. Deshaun Hamilton for the Denver Broncos, 12 targets last week. He's got back-to-back games of 7 catches 46 and 47 yards. He had a touchdown in week 14. He seems to be the Broncos wide receiver you'd have the most confidence in. And then if you feel like chasing the upside, if you're playing against a really strong opponent and you can't afford to have somebody that can give you just, you know, that might tap, you know, tap out at 12 points, but you're looking at for somebody who could have 20 points, Robert Foster would be that guy. Buffalo Bills, he has been Josh Allen's favorite target. He is limited in terms of volume. He has got upside because he can run like the wind. He's big, tall, fast. Josh Allen throws the ball a mile. They play the Patriots on Sunday. Robert Foster is the player to add if you have, you know, a massive hill to climb in the championship and you want to chase that upside. So now, Daniel, I want to have a lot of time to get to the segment that you devised.
So
please tell us more
about it. I'm so excited about this.
Yes, tell me more.
So here it is. We're going into week 16, right? Week 15, I would like to call it, this is going to be the crappy bands you've never heard of segment.
Okay.
Week 15 was the places that you have come to fear the most, where all of the guys that you were counting on that got you there basically just killed your fantasy team, and hopefully you were able to make it to week 16. The places you have come to fear the most, great record by Dashboard Confessional, by the way. So here's what we're going to do. A couple of guys that we have that either underwhelmed or overwhelmed in week 15. You've got a little thing. Field, go ahead and hand these out. We've got a little thing that we're going to hold up.
Is
one
there a
side,
particular color that goes to either one of them or no?
So the one side, which is the hold steady.
Sorry, but we have different color.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah. One side is the hold steady.
Great.
This album is called
home,
Stay Positive.
Love this.
They'd be fighting over the colors for sure.
Okay.
It's called
Whenever
Stay Positive.
Colors, we've got the hold steady.
Yep.
And then
the other side is Julian Baker with Turn Out the Lights.
Turn out the lights.
Either you're staying positive on a player, I'm going to roll with them again, even though they totally let me down in week 15, or I'm going to turn out the lights and I'm definitely not going to play them. All right. Crappy bands you've never heard of.
Right. By the way, this is the biggest budgeted segment we've ever had on the Fantasy Focus 0600.
By the way, I couldn't get popsicle sticks, so I had to get Emery boards.
Yeah, I noticed
from CVS.
That. I was wondering if these were Mrs. Squirrels.
No, they were not. Also, Emery, great band, by the way. I know that that's a, so.
Sure.
Let's have that conversation. So, Jared Goff.
My first wife went to that college.
This. Really?
Emery? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Emery.
So this first player we want to talk about, Jared Goff, disappointing the last couple of weeks. Just for you guys, week 16.
Ex-wife, I should say.
Yes. Yes. But
my wife gets upset when I refer to her as first wife.
First wife.
So it's like,
one of your ex-wives.
Yeah.
My ex-wife.
Never listens.
Luckily, she doesn't listen. So
nah, it's true,
deal.
But someone will tell
Just
her.
Just in case. Yeah. Right.
A bunch of weasels out there.
From this perspective,
my ex-wife.
Jared Goff, are you guys staying positive with Jared Goff, or are you looking to move on in week 16 in what is a championship matchup for you guys? And you got to hold up the sign when you do it, when each one of you go through.
Okay. So who's
Jared Goff?
Jared Goff.
Hold steady. Yeah, are you staying positive, or are you turning out the lights on Jared Goff and rolling with someone else?
Ooh, divisive answers already. I'm holding steady.
Yeah.
Hold steady. Good matchup against the Arizona Cardinals, and I just feel like there's no way that this offense can really look itself in the mirror for three straight weeks and lay eggs. No way.
Disagree that it's a good matchup. Arizona is one of the most run-on teams in the NFL. They've actually been, quote, good against the pass. They have a sneaky, decent pass defense. They're 12th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. Some of that is because teams are so successful at running the ball. They don't attempt a bunch of passes against them. I think that will be the case here as well. I don't think, like, I look at it as love, hate. What's his projection this week? I don't know why I'm asking Thirsty Kyle. What did you project him for?
I was going to say, I don't really love Goff this week. It's next week, the reason I'm staying positive, but I have him at 10 with 19 fantasy points.
Yeah. See, I'm going to take the under just as a preview of my love, hate. I will take the under on 19 fantasy points.
Yeah.
There. So
I will say this. Arizona you're right. They've been great against quarterbacks this year, but they were the team that faced Matt Ryan this week. He was the number one scorer at quarterback. So they're coming off a rough game. Granted, that was on the road. It wasn't great.
Games in Arizona.
Week,
Jared Goff looks broken, and so I don't know.
I'm holding steady. Like him against San Francisco in week 17 too.
Yes, I would agree with that, but I'm turning out the lights. I'm just thinking week 16.
Next up.
Oh, and Thirsty Kyle points out Matt Ryan was quarterback one this week with the 67th best quarterback performance of the season.
That's incredible.
Like performances, Matt Ryan was 67th on the year and yet was number one in week 15.
All right, Andrew Luck next up took on Dallas this week, gave you 9.7 fantasy points. You guys holding steady for week 16, or you turn out the lights on him?
This is an easy one.
Holding steady. Yeah, easy.
Yeah, holding steady here. Schedule is tough, Tennessee and the Giants, but it's not as tough as Dallas and Jacksonville. Those are the two that he's laid eggs against over the past couple of weeks. He's been a top 10 quarterback 9 of the past 11 games otherwise. Just hold it tight with him. He's too good.
Straight games with three or more passing touchdowns. I'm in on Andrew Luck.
Yep, no question.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next one. Patriots running backs. You've got James White and Sony Michelle. We'll do each one separately. James White, I mean, with the way that they have been using these running backs in this backfield, you guys holding steady or you turn out the lights on James White in a championship week 16?
Turn the lights up.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Holding steady. I'm going to go steady on this. Go ahead.
I mean, look, they're playing the Bills, so it's, you know, it's not, but they are at home where the offense performs much better. But if you look at the sort of the,
awesome.
And I'm sure, Mike, you've got the numbers. I don't have them off the top of my head, but you think about what his numbers are in terms of touches, routes run, snaps since Rex Burkhead came back. They're significantly down.
Sonny
Michel. For James White.
Oh, for James. Yeah,
we're talking James White, right?
We're talking both guys, but we're more than welcome to start with White here. You're right. Zero touchdowns. Actually, you look a little closer at his usage. His OTD is 1.0 since their bye. I mean, he's just not getting work near the goal line.
Right.
So the expected touchdown total based on usage is down too. It was 8.2 before the bye with 10 touchdowns. So he's not getting work near the goal line at all. That has been a big problem for him, but he did have seven targets on Sunday. He's still involved in the passing game. That's why I still think, you know, I'm holding steady because he's still a flex option or at least a fringe RB2. I still think you can start him. That's why I feel like you hold steady on one.
Field, you said turn out the lights for James White as well.
Turn out the lights for James White. I don't want to spoil what I'm going to say for the next answer as well, but how can you, my feeling on the Patriots running back is if you're playing one of them, you are guessing that player is going to be the one that finds the end zone on Sunday. Tough matchup. They are much better as home as Matthew has been saying, but James White, like, just not getting nearly the opportunities to score touchdowns right now.
Meanwhile, I will hold steady with Sony Michel just because I think the volume is there. Look, the concerns here with Sony Michel are not involved in the passing game. So if they get down, like he's not coming on the field, and James Devlin is vulturing touchdowns, which is a very real feel. That's a real fear. That is a legit thing. That said, he's still getting double digit touches in a game in which I expect the Patriots to be up and up big at home against the Bills. So, yeah, and Sony Michel has gotten some goal line work. He just hasn't been able to convert recently. It's been James Devlin. I feel like that trend, he's a lower end RB2 for me, but I'm going to hold steady with Sony Michel. Just the workload in a good offense. At least I think it'll be a good offense this week.
Hasn't seen a target since December 2nd in a game.
Not involved in the passing game. No question.
Yep. No question.
Yeah.
Basically,
not
no
argu- that's
passing
not my
game
argument.
Involvement whatsoever. Hasn't caught a pass, I should say, but he may have had a target since that time. So, again, too much touchdown dependency for me right now for Sony Michel. I am all Patriots running backs. Turn the lights up.
I'm holding steady on Michel here. He's averaging over 17 carries per game. You mentioned the target issue, fine, but over the past 4 weeks, he is 10th in the entire NFL in OTD. So yes, he only has one touchdown. He should have three. He has three carries inside the five. So I think his touchdown opportunity is. It's there. You know, right. I think saying he doesn't have it and Devlin's a problem is kind of overstated. He has gotten a lot of work at the goal line. He's in the top 10 in the entire NFL in that area over the past month. So I think he can find the end zone and 17 carries per game in this Patriots offense that loves running at the goal line. I'm in for that. I think he's a back end RB2.
All right. Let's move on to Corey Davis, who put up 6.3 points against the New York Giants. He has been so up and down all season long. Again, week 16 championship game. You hold in steady, staying positive for turning out the lights.
And I think it would be helpful as the host of this little segment to let people know, because probably everyone at home doesn't have the schedule memorized.
Who they're playing this week?
Yes.
Sure, sure. Yeah, Corey Davis, does it make a difference who he's playing this week?
It does. They're playing at the Giants. And yes, they play my beloved Redskins in a playoff battle. And both teams need this win for the playoffs to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, I'm turning the lights out here. This offense is just hard to watch. And right now, as you can tell, if they have a lead, their plan is pretty obvious. Feed Derrick Henry. Feed him some more. Matthew, sorry, but I think this is going to be a game where Tennessee does have the lead. So I am taking Corey Davis to turning out the lights on Corey Davis. Kind of a weird phrase here. Why not turn the lights out?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm with you here. I hate to say it.
I'll tell you why. Do you want to know why?
Is it art?
No, because it's like some sort of album cover of Julian Baker, which is one of the crappy bands you've never heard of.
That's the whole point.
Here's what Secret Squirrel
does.
That's
what we're doing. Julian Baker, turn out the lights. That's the name of the record.
Right. So this is what Secret Squirrel does. Do you know what his move is? So he's got all these crappy bands that no one's ever heard of, right? And yep. So his move is like, hey, look, it's me, Daniel. Like, I'm a producer on ESPN. I'm like, I'm going to give you guys some love. I'm going to wear your T-shirts.
Julian Baker is a saint. Don't you talk poorly of her.
I'm talking. So and I'm going to give you some love on the podcast, and I'll wear your T-shirts on the fantasy show. And then what happens, Mike, is he goes to their shows. And then, and it was like, oh, I'll tweet about you. Come meet me at their shows. And then he goes to shows. And then they act like he's a celebrity. Like he gets comped everything, and he's backstage.
Listen, that's
and everything.
Smart.
Like, so that's the whole scam Secret Squirrel is running, just so you know.
I've not met the Hold Steady. I've not met Craig Finn. I've not met Julian Baker. However, huge fan of those fans.
Now that we're holding up their album covers for,
hey,
you know,
we'll
a 10 minute
out.
Segment.
We'll find out.
Like, this is your Hail Mary. Please notice me, Julian Baker. Please, I'm asking you. I'm begging you, Julian Baker.
Julian Baker was my number one listened to artist on Spotify this year. I tweeted about it earlier this year, actually.
Yeah, of course.
I would go,
you can to get noticed by him.
I would go turn off the lights, Nelly Furtado. That's what I would
do. Wow. Okay. All right.
There you go.
Wow. Mike Clay just got that Nelly Furtado reference right there.
Come on, that was big. Song. I thought about going out with Give Up by the Postal Service. People might know, but I'm with you on that one. That one would have been better. All right. Let's move on to Adam Thielen.
Wait, hold on a second.
Oh, you still got stuff you want to say?
I thought we could have done Baby Hit Me One More Time by Britney Spears, just as long as we're like, you know,
yeah,
songs people have heard of.
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yeah, what did I say? Whatever.
Baby Hit Me One More Time.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think the baby is in parentheses of the album title. Song title. I actually think baby is in parentheses.
You have that. You have the poster.
Hit Me One More Time.
In your man cave.
I will. Yeah, I have. Well, I certainly have the song on my iTunes. Yeah.
Nonetheless, Corey Davis. Can I throw a note in here?
Turn up the lights. Yeah. What do you got on Corey Davis?
Josh Norman shadow this week. That's a problem. After that, the Colts defense best against wide receivers over the past 2 months. They have shut them down. By the way, the Titans zero passing touchdowns over their past two games. They don't have more than two in a single game this season. Hate to say it. I think the future's bright for Davis, but not over the final 2 weeks.
Official name of the song is Baby One More Time. So hit is actually the word that's not in
the
title.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Adam Thielen put up 3.9 fantasy points against the Dolphins this week, week 16, taking on the Detroit Lions. Will not get the Darius Slay shadow, correct, Mike?
You would be correct.
That is because Darius Slay is not going to the slot where Adam Thielen spends a lot of his time.
You know your Lions.
Everyone is holding steady here.
Less in the slot this past week than he has.
It's true.
Up until
also scored a lot less points than he had.
Very low volume game, extra tight ends out on the field. They were ahead in the game. I wouldn't worry about that.
We're all holding steady. It's Adam Thielen. We know it's been disappointing, but the possibility for a 100-yard game still very much exists.
See, right. You could have done Blue Suede hooked on a Thielen.
Oh, wow. I could have done that. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. Jarvis Landry.
Did you know who sang Hooked on a Feeling until I said Blue Suede?
Hooked on a Feeling was, it's the Vegas.
Blue Suede.
No. Blue Suede is Hooked on a Feeling? I thought, what's the other guy's name that did
DJ
it?
DJ Thomas.
Is that who did? Ooga Chaka.
I believe
Ooga,
he's the guy Ooga, who did the cover.
Okay.
Thursday, right. Kyle, look that up.
Jarvis Landry, week 15, 6.7 points at the Broncos. This week, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Jarvis Landry, staying positive with the hold steady or turn out the lights?
Holding steady.
Yep, holding steady.
Good matchup.
Yeah, the neutral matchups, I'd say. Darquez Denard then gets Brandon Carr, Tavon Young in the slot against Baltimore. You know, back-to-back top 15 weeks. You know, he had back-to-back top 15 weeks before this week outing last week. As Thirsty Kyle points out, 8 targets or a touchdown in 3 straight games. Targets have been down, but he's getting some work downfield. The Browns' offense is rolling.
What he said. By the way, most importantly, Hooked on a Feeling, also covered by B.J. Thomas. Who knows their obscure 70s crappy music?
Apparently
this
you
guy.
Do.
That's right. That's right.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Put a bow on this.
All right, last one. We're going to come up with Doug Baldwin, 23.7 points against the 49ers in week 15. Week 16, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, averaging 8.8 points per game prior to week 15, so that 23.7 was a huge jump. You staying positive and holding steady? You turn out the lights. Holding steady across the board.
Great matchup this week. Perhaps the best matchup in the NFL right now, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. So we know what they are. They're going to try to outscore you some more. Doug Baldwin and the Seahawks on the night should be a lot of points scored in that game. Any disagreement? Yeah,
no. I mean, he's the best wide receiver on the Seahawks. Look, he hasn't been 100% healthy, but there's a trust issue here. Seeing what he did last week, it's great. And there's been some misconnections in terms of open in the end zone, Russell Wilson missing earlier in the year. I don't know what his OTD is, but I suspect it was pretty good coming into the game. last week as well. They're not going to be able to be all conservative and run heavy against the Chiefs. They're just not. So, I'm holding steady with Dougie Fresh.
Keep an eye on Kendall Fuller's status. It sounds like he's going to go. He had surgery after Thursday's games, I thought he'd be out, and that would be a great matchup for him. If he's out and it's Daniel Sorensen or Ron Parker in there, then we love Baldwin. He becomes an elite DFS option. But if Fuller's back, Fuller is a good player, but still, you're throwing so often. This could be a shootout in Seattle.
No guarantee Fuller is 100%. It's a lesser version. And Kendall Fuller's a nice player, and I was bummed when the Redskins traded him as part of the Alex Smith deal. But, I mean, so he's a really nice slot corner. He's not like a shutdown, got to avoid him. Corner.
No question. It's just my point is that it's an okay matchup just because it's the Chiefs defense. Fuller is good, but if he's out, then it becomes a major matchup. Downgrade in the slot for sure.
Yeah. All right, that's all we have for today. Good creativity shown there by Daniel Dopp to put these together. We appreciate that.
Has Julie Baker reached out and asked you, invited you to a show? Even worse.
No wonder
you waited till it was the show where Mrs. Squirrel doesn't listen.
No. Julian Baker's phenomenal. Same with the Hold Steady.
Interesting.
Thank you to all
this
the crappy
is
bands.
It's all becoming clear to me now. Coming into focus. The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus later today.
He's available for Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media except for the Fantasy Life app. He's just at Matthew Berry. Mike Lanifel will be on the Fantasy Show later on.
Yeah, so we're doing some dynasty rankings. We're talking dynasty.
There.
Mike Clay, who does all of our dynasty stuff here at ESPN.com. So we're going to talk about that on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. And yes, follow him on social media at Mike Clay NFL.
I am at Field Yates. We're back on Wednesday talking rankings news. Stefania is back. Lots to get to. Talk to you then.
Go to Amazon.com/Fantasy Life. Peace out.
In the 06010, never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know, Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys, go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dye.
Make it happen.
Mediocre.